All right, no more fun. It's Bible now. Put your serious face on. Okay. Well, we're glad you're here this morning. And we are looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 with Paul. I listened to myself this morning. You know, you can go on the website and you can hear Dave's sermons. You can hear, the teaching we do here and also Wednesday morning. And so I usually listened to what I did last week, so I remember where I was at, to be honest with you. And I realized I was all over the place. But it was all good, okay? I do believe in bringing in more references, and a lot of people don't like that, but I do. So, hey, I'm leading it, so I'm going to do it my way, all right? But I hope it's helpful to you. In chapter 11, Paul is doing a comparison between himself and false apostles, which were all over the place in the early church, just as they are today. So you need discernment. This is my favorite story about discernment, okay? We had a little dachshund. Well, he was mostly dachshund. You know, there was some stranger in there, you know. His mother was, well, you know. Anyway, he was a mixed breed, but he was a nice little dog. We called him Pal. You know, he's really original with names there. And so my father would never let the dog come into, we actually had a dining room. He wouldn't let the dog come in the dining room when we were eating because he didn't like the dog begging. And you know how a dog can beg with their eyes? They're watching you eat. You know, they can just beg with their eyes. So the dog would lay with his nose just over the threshold. Okay? And he was a cute little dog, but he's watching everything. So when my parents went out of the room, my brother and I, being the rotten kids that we were, would take little pieces of meat and toss it to him. And he catch it in the air. It was really good. Okay? So being the rotten kids we are, we would then, I in particular, would throw a piece of cooked carrot. And he'd catch it in the air. And he would spit it out and he would back up. Now, this is learning discernment, okay? You want the good things of the Word of God. You don't want that false stuff in there, right? So the next time we threw him a piece of meat, guess what? He watched it hit. And then he went over and he smelled it. Listen, there are some things that are being taught that smell to high heaven. Okay? Learn discernment. Did Jesus say this? Did the apostles teach this? Who's it directed to? Who's he speaking to? What is the subject? Is he threatening with the loss of salvation if you don't shape up? Paul never did that. The Word of God assures us of our standing with Jesus Christ, and it's secure forever. You can trust somebody who died for you, who didn't have to, and did it voluntarily out of love. You know that. No polka dots today. Oh, there you go. See, there's a little rebel in her. You see that? She's going to bring those polka dots in here. I'll never mention that, though. Okay, so be warned. All right, so we're going to, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get going. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, and we do pray for heavenly discernment. Lord, we don't want to get picky over little things, but help us to have discernment of what is truth, that it glorifies Jesus. It comes from Jesus, and it reflects back to Jesus and his goodness to us. Thank you for a Savior who loved us and died for us when we knew nothing about him. When he was on the cross, we were on his mind. And we're thankful that we serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. I know that he is living, no matter what men may say. So, Lord, we just pray that as we're looking at your servant Paul, that we would learn from him, this apostle to the Gentiles, what it is to be a Christian and to be in a true church where the Word of God is being taught and people are being edified so that we might be assured of our salvation and that we might be equipped to serve you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Paul, one of the reasons he's doing this comparison between himself and the false apostles is they are trying to equate themselves with him and the other apostles. And he's trying to draw a distinction. And part of that was that when he came in, he didn't take any money from them. No money. He had a right to do that. We brought that out last week. He had a right to do that. The Bible says that the labor is worthy of his hire, and you shall not muzzle the ox as he treads out the grain. So he had a perfect right to that, but he said, I'm not going to do it. He said, I have to preach the gospel. The sacrifice that I can give God is I'm going to do it for free. As much as lies in me, he did get help from other churches. He said, I robbed the churches in Macedonia so I could be here free. So I'm going to distance myself from those money grubbers. That's really what he's saying. And he's saying, you know us. We were among you, and we behaved as Christians should behave, and we did not exploit you in any way. Now, he's going to draw some more distinctions here. Now, unfortunately, some people have taught that somehow Peter and Paul preached different gospels. Listen, there's only one gospel of salvation. Abraham believed it. Adam and Eve believed it. Abel believed it. Okay? And so there's only one gospel all through the dispensations. There's not different gospels. And they want to make Paul and Peter rivals in some way. That's an incorrect take on it. And then other people will even say, you know what, the church began with Paul, and that all that stuff that happened at Pentecost, that was just a Jewish church. Now, Paul says there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile in the church. In the church, there's no distinction because the Holy Spirit is in all of us, and he's placed us in the church. We are one body, the bride of Jesus Christ. That's distinct from Israel. Israel's going to come into play later on after the church is raptured, and so are the Gentile nations, okay? So try to get the big picture, but don't lose sight of where we are now. That's really kind of the idea here. We haven't been there yet, but the Bible is like a map, and it says this is where we're going. And so you want to see that, and it's all to the glory of God. So really, the more we understand about this Bible, the more secure we are in Jesus Christ. And by the way, the more equipped we are to pass on the word correctly to other people. You see that? So it behooves us all to become students of the word of God. And God has promised, I love it, in Proverbs 1, turn to me, and I will pour out my spirit on you. I will cause you to know my words. Listen, you may not think much of the pupils, but we got a great teacher. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God himself through the Bible, okay? He does use people. We understand that. But it's really God that's teaching us. And the way you know that is you're checking what's being taught through the scriptures, okay? You check the scriptures. Scriptures are always accurate. Teachers are not always accurate. But by the grace of God, we want to be, at least I do. I want to tell people the truth. The first time I ever taught the adult class at Falmouth Baptist Church, my knees were knocking. But I said, listen, I don't want to teach you anything that's not in this book. And that's still my position. I want to teach it all. I want to teach about hell. I want to teach about heaven. I want to teach about the rapture. I want to teach about the tribulation. I want to teach about Israel. I want to teach about the church, but I want to have it accurate. Okay? I read commentaries all the time. I don't think commentaries are the Bible. But you know what? You can learn from the work that other people have done, and you can assess it by the Bible, and by the grace of God, you're going to become more and more accurate. See, we owe that to God to be accurate. When I was a kid, I worked for my father at Elgin Bourne. He was a foreman. And we had several different warehouses throughout Hyannis. And one of my jobs was, my father would say, okay, I want you to go over to the roundhouse. Now, the roundhouse had belonged to the railroad over there, and that's where they brought the engines in, and they turned the engine around, and they could work on it, but they turned it around, and they could hook it up going the other way, okay? So we were using it for a warehouse. They didn't use it for a roundhouse anymore. I want you to go to the roundhouse, and I want you to tell this guy and that guy what I want them to do. Now, I can assure you that I paid attention to what my father was saying because I knew if I got it wrong, I was going to hear about it. My father was, well, he was my father, okay, and he could be severe, he could be very kind, he could be very gentle, especially after he became a Christian, but you didn't want to mess up with him, okay? He was the boss. So when I get over there, I'm just a kid, But these guys that I'm telling, my father wants you to go here and he wants you to go there, they're paying attention too, because they know my father too, okay? And so I'm trying to get it accurate from my father to bring it over to these guys who are trying to really pay attention to what they're supposed to do that day. Now, that didn't happen every single day. If it was on occasion, that would happen. But I feel the same way. I want to get it accurate here so I can give it to you guys. And you guys, you know, check your Bibles, make sure, is this right? Is this really glorifying Christ? Is this what God wants me to know? And so iron sharpens iron, you know? We're all in this together. All right. So Paul is saying, I want to distance myself from those false apostles. And he's going to, number one was money. Now, I didn't ask anything of you. Meanwhile, these other guys are gouging you, okay? Second Peter talks about false teachers and their motivation. It's always the money, position. They want people to look at them. Oh, you're a hero. You're God's man, blah, blah, blah. And it's about sex a lot of times because they take advantage of people sexually too. Jesus called the Pharisees adulterers. Now, that had to do with their faithfulness or lack of faithfulness to God, but it also was real adultery. They would take advantage of their position to exploit people. So let's pick up in verse 12. This is chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. Now pay attention to this. This is a very important point. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Deceitful workers. Did you get that? It's not that they're lazy. Jehovah's Witnesses are out there day after day in all kinds of weather knocking on doors. But their work is deceitful, okay? They are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. You know how you get to be an apostle of Jesus Christ? Christ's picture. Out of all the disciples he had, he chose 12 apostles. And we know that Peter tried to be used of God to pick Matthias. But that's not how you become an apostle of the Lamb. That's a select group, 12 people. And their names are written on the foundation of the eternal city. So we know they're a select group. So Peter knew we're supposed to have another guy. And I guess I'm supposed to pick him. Who told him to do that? Nobody. See, good intentions and sincerity do not always make a right thing. You know, I always want to look to that, okay? A person can be very sincere, pick up a can of gas and try to put out a fire with it. But they're wrong, okay? So sincerity is great, but it's not the be-all and the end-all when it comes to truth. So Paul said these people are transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They're trying to mimic what a true apostle did, all right? And they wherever Paul went, these guys followed him. That was the problem at Galatia, in the churches in Galatia. These guys came. They came from Jerusalem, so they carried an air of authority with them that beguiled these naive former pagans. They're just barely out of the womb, you might say. And here come these guys saying, oh, we come from James in the big place, from Jerusalem. We're from the big city. And you guys, you know, you've been taken in by Paul. He may be an apostle, but he's not a very good one, and he didn't really get it accurate. We want to tell you that you got to be circumcised and you got to keep the law. And Paul said, I love what J. Vernon McGee said when he was commenting on Paul speaking in Galatians. He says, Paul comes out of the gate with his war paint on. You foolish Galatians. Listen, God has told you you're free in Jesus Christ. Have you forgotten what he told you in this gospel? If anyone else preaches any other gospel than that which I gave you, let him be accursed. Why would you mess with the truth of the gospel? It's so beautiful. It saves people. It's the truth of Jesus Christ. And so these guys want the glory that comes with being God's man, and they want to exploit it. But they're not true. And he says they transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, let me say a quick word about Barnabas. The Bible says that he was an apostle. Well, an apostle is a messenger, one who is sent. And so you can be, Dave is an apostle in one sense because he's given messages, all right? Whoever gives a message for God, sometimes they're called angels, and they're really a human being. The angel of the church in Revelation, that's a pastor. It means messenger. But the apostles of the Lamb, there's only 12 of them. Get that in your mind, okay? And they formed the foundation of the church, Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone, okay? Now, this is another reason why we know there's no church in the Old Testament, because there's no foundation back there. You can read the Old Testament from cover to cover, and you won't see one word about an apostle. This is a new entity. We are new people, baby. We're going to a new country. And Jesus Christ is the heavenly bridegroom that's coming to scoop us up before the wrath of God is poured out on this world and take us to glory to meet the Father. And then we're going to have a 1,000-year celebration, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Woo! That's good stuff. I didn't make the stuff up, okay? This is in the book. Read the book, okay? Make it your aim that you're going to read the book. You're going to know this Bible, okay? Everybody can know this Bible. You do not have to go to seminary. I'm not against people going to seminary. You know, maybe they can overcome it once they get out. No, I'm kidding. Some people call it a cemetery, because sometimes people go in there, they're all on fire, you know, and then they start teaching them the Latin and the Greek, and they lose their fire, and I guess I really wasn't called. Now, if God's called you, and he can teach you any way he wants, he knows your personality, and he knows how you learn best, and he makes it available to you. You see that? Stick with Paul as far as the church. Everything about the church, run it through the Paul filter. Did Paul teach this? Or was Jesus teaching about the Jews and what's going to happen with them? So you got to see those distinctions. And God will help you to do that. So he says, they're false, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, because they're just like their master. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. People say, do you really believe there was a talking serpent in the garden? Are you crazy? No, I'm believing the word of God, okay? Satan is able, were you nodding your head, yes, or I am crazy? Or no? Oh, you're, that's an amen. Okay, I got you. All right. I'm so sensitive, you know, I'm watching. Okay. So, yeah, talking serpent. See, Satan has power. He has power. And he slithers up to Eve and he says, did God really say? Well, I think so. And then, you know what? God's holding out on you. Now, he knows that if you eat this, you're going to know good and evil just like he does. And did he really say you can't eat from any of the trees in the garden? See, that's what religion does. You can't enjoy anything, or you're not really a Christian. Do you enjoy the pictures winning? I do. There are legitimate pleasures in life, okay? But he wants to make it austere. God's a bad guy. He's keeping all these trees away from you. And the woman gets it right. Once in a while, they... No, I'm kidding. I gotta get killed. Okay, so she gets it right. She says, no, he only says that we shouldn't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, nor should we touch it. Now, she added to that word. That's not what the Bible says. But Satan says, you know, this you gotta take another look at this. So she goes and she looks and she sees this beautiful fruit, and it's gonna make me wise. I'm going to know good and evil like God does. Okay. Now, here's a distinction, because later on, God says, you know what? They've become like us as the triune God. They have become like us, these sinners. They know good and evil like we do. Here's the distinction. God knows it without experiencing it. He knew all about it, all the consequences of it. But they learned it by experience. That's why they were sinners, and that's why they were going to die. Don't ever forget this. The first Bible preacher, the first gospel preacher, was God himself. And he came seeking Adam. Where are you, Adam? So Adam would know where he is. That's what God is doing with every sinner. Seeking, where are you? Do you understand where you are? I was naked. No, he's not naked. He made that little apron. But he knows in the presence of God. He doesn't cut it. And I hid myself. No, you didn't. You tried to hide yourself. See, this is what people do. You start talking to them about sin. They start telling you how good they are. They're making their little apron. Do you know that I work with the Boy Scouts? Woo! That'll get you into heaven. Right? Did you know what I did for so-and-so? That's trusting your own works. I was naked and I hid myself. And then God preaches the gospel to him. The seed of the woman. Women don't have seed, naturally. This is a virgin birth. A seed of the woman, that's Jesus. He's going to come, he's going to crush the head of Satan. But he's going to bruise his heel. See, all Satan could do to Jesus is physical. The real pain that Jesus experienced on the cross was having God turn his back on him because he's bearing our sin. My God, why have you forsaken me? See, when you're a sinner and you're apart from God, you don't know why. And Jesus was a sinner standing in our place, hanging in our place, and he entered into that sin completely, bearing that sin. My God, why have you? This is the first time in all his existence as both Son and as both God that he was ever separated from his Father. And he did it for us. And somebody might say, well, a sinner's got to spend eternity in hell. Why didn't Jesus have to spend eternity in hell to pay for sin? I'll tell you why. Because of the intensity of the pain that Jesus felt having never been separated from his Father in all of his consciousness. And in the Psalms it says, you caused me to trust in you on my mother's breast without sin. You see that? And suddenly, that's the real pain of hell. It's not the fire as much as it is separated forever from God. And Jesus made it possible that nobody has to be separated from God. Say, well, Dennis, I don't have much faith. I don't care. Your faith can grow. The question is it in the right place? Is it placed on Jesus? And your faith can grow. And you can, and we can experience more and more the love of God and the truth of God. So Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. You know, we should think about that. Satan is very highly intelligent. He's smarter than we are. He's had a lot more experience than we have. But you know what? We have the Holy Spirit. So that's a game changer, right? So we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. But Satan knows how to ingratiate himself with people, all right? We should be not insincerely, but motivated by the love of God, being open with each other. Remember Paul said that in Corinthians, we read it earlier in another lesson, where he said, we open your heart to us. We have opened our hearts to you. Don't guard your heart before the apostolic teaching and preaching. Let it come in and let it change you. Let it modify your thinking or transform your thinking, because we're all students in these things. So, verse 14, and no wonder, if you came in late, it's chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, verse 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is of no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Do you ever wonder what demons look like? You see those gargoyles on those horrible buildings in Europe they're supposed to be so artistic and everything, but they're horrible looking. I kind of envision demons looking like that. But here he says they transform into angels of light. Okay. Listen, more destruction is done by demons who teach than demons who oppress people physically. Okay. If somebody is not saved and they're behind the pulpit, right behind them is a demon influencing them. Demons teach. Demons teach. And they're how you can tell it's a cult is they never accept Jesus Christ as who he is, the Son of God, and they deny his physical resurrection as well as his atoning death. Now, those are simple things. Be like the little doggy I was telling about. Let it hit. Then go over and smell it. Okay? Is it meat or is it a cooked carrot? I hate cooked carrots, by the way. My mother used to make me eat cooked carrots. So one day I was really smart. The only thing left on the plate, I usually clean the plate, but the only thing left was the cooked carrots. So I kept accidentally dropping them on the floor. My mother made me get down and eat them off the floor. Now, years later, when you're sharing things around Thanksgiving, I said, Mom, you remember that time you... I never did that. I said, oh, I remember it, Mom. You did, you know. So that's one of those family things. But is it meat? Is it steak from heaven? Or is it cooked carrots? Oh, my goodness. Learn the difference, okay? You should hate error because error is an attack on he who is the truth, okay? I want to keep those things straight. And it will bless your heart. We got a wonderful Savior. And the more we know him, the more we're going to be blessed. The more useful we're going to be for God. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Do you realize how many people over the years, and you see it on the internet, have claimed to be Jesus Christ? And then as time goes by, and these, don't make no mistake, these false teachers have a power. That's not God's power, but they do have a power. And they're being motivated and controlled by Satan, and they have a power. Just like Eve was deceived by that serpent, so they have that power to deceive people. Their only hope is to know the truth of God, to know the truth of God. And there was just one recently down in South America. People have traveled from all over the world because this guy heals. But guess what? They find out he's sexually exploiting the women patients who come there. And there are still people who go there because they still believe in him. Oh, so he had a couple of slips. Yeah, right. Okay. Stick with God's man and God's people and mostly, obviously, with Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 16. I say again, let no one think me a fool. He's saying that because he's going to act like a fool in a minute here. Okay? He said, I'm going to play a fool. These guys are bragging about what they did. I'm going to brag about what I did. Because you don't know about that, and you need to know that. See, when it seems like Paul is advancing himself, he knows it's for the good of the church to understand his position with Jesus Christ. It's not because he's trying to have people pat him on the back. We're going to see in a few minutes what he endured for Christ. If you're in it for the applause, you're going to be in for a surprise. Because this world is no friend to Jesus Christ or his people. What I speak, verse 17, I speak not according to the Lord. In other words, this is not what a godly person normally does. But I'm doing it for a reason, because the case is so serious, you need to see that I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, seeing that many boast, verse 18, according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. Don't think Paul never used sarcasm, okay? Somebody said, sarcasm is the devil's religion. Well, I seem to remember Elijah on the mount making fun of these prophets. Hey, yell louder. Your God has probably gone fishing. Perhaps he's in the bathroom. Yell louder. Now, why is he doing that? He's doing that because the people have started trusting these false prophets, and he's calling them out. And they're cutting themselves, and they're doing all their crazy stuff, and they're trying to get their God to produce fire. Their God has no fire. And when Elijah has two prayers here, and you should pay attention to this. I'm indebted to somebody else that taught me this. But he said, Lord, answer by fire and show everyone that I am your servant. Nothing happened. Then he said, Lord, answer by fire and show people that you are God. Doesn't matter about the servant, you see that? And then so the fire came down and it even licked up the water in the trench. Wow. And then they executed those false prophets. So he's calling them out in front of the people because he's speaking the word of God. You know, today's church, I got to tell you, basically, only going with the positive. Never call anybody out on anything. That is not how the apostles taught, my friends, and it's not how Jesus taught. You don't look at people and say, you are of the devil. That's what Jesus did to the false teachers, okay? And let's make sure that our information is accurate when we do that. If we do that, okay? If we're called to do that. Okay, most people don't like doing that. Because there's repercussions. Guess what? People don't like being told they're wrong. I'm married. I found that out. Okay, in a very small way compared to what other people have done. But who are we going to be true to? Are we going to be true to Jesus? If we're going to be true to Jesus, we got to do it through the power of His Spirit. And He will help us. In Hebrews 11, I like this, you know. That's the roll call of the heroes of the faith. And then it starts talking about just ordinary people like you and I. And it says that, you know, sometimes they were strengthened in the battle. I like that, you know. Because sometimes you can prepare and you can prepare, and all of a sudden you find out, I'm inadequate here. I had a friend who was in Vietnam, and he was artillery and back of the lines. They'd get a call on the phone, oh, we need a few shells lobbed over here. I think that's what prayer, you know. Lord, we need a few shells over here to take out some of the enemy, right? So we can always pray. We find ourselves in over our heads many times, but God will answer our prayer, and He'll bring us through. Don't be afraid of going into something that you're afraid of. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? But you know what? That's how you overcome fear. You overcome fear by seeing God delivers you when you thought it was all over. I love the story of Jonah. He's on the bottom of the ocean. And he knows he's been disobedient. That's why he's on the bottom of the ocean. He's God's prophet. He's supposed to do what God says. And he went in the opposite direction. So he winds up on the bottom of the ocean. This is before he's sucked up by the great fish, because it says a seaweed wrapped around his head. And he said, you know what, I'm going to look one more time. He basically says, I'm done, I'm cooked. Stick a fork in me, I'm all through. But then he says, I'm going to look one more time towards Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. That's what a godly Jew would do. He'd look towards the temple, and that's what Solomon's great prayer. When anybody's in trouble, let them look towards the temple and call on you, and God will deliver. And guess what? He found out God delivered him. And then he said, and take this, if you don't remember anything else from this study, don't come back. No, if you don't remember anything else from this study, remember what Jonah said here. The Lord, our righteousness. What righteousness does Dennis Clough have? Only that which has been given to him by God through the gospel, through Jesus Christ, and same with you. And you have to be just as righteous as God is to go to heaven. And God has provided that. He has provided that. So Jonah is delivered, and he goes in, and he does exactly what God told him to do, and he still didn't want to do it. But he obeyed. He went in, and he did it. So if you are prone to depression, this is why you need to read stories like that in the Bible, because you see, hey, here's a guy, he's going through exactly what I went through, and guess what? God brought him out. God brought him out. Okay? So those kind of stories encourage you. So Paul says, I'm going to boast. You put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are so wise. He's really harassing them here, if you will, or correcting them, chastising them, however you want to put it. verse 20. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage. He's talking about spiritual bondage here. Okay? You put up with it if they bring you into bondage. If one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say, we're too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am also bold. See, when you don't know anything spiritually, and when you're kind of weak in your faith, and somebody comes in, they're very confident, they're so confident, they slap you in the face, you're stupid, you know, whatever, you need to listen to me. You know, people walk around with an air of authority, which is absolutely invalid. So Paul says, you know, you put up with that, how about putting up with a few boasts for me? I want to show you the distinction between the true and the false. I want to show you the difference between steak and cooked carrots. Cooked carrots are poisonous. I know, it's supposed to be good for your eyesight. That's baloney. Anyway, okay, so, but if in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. You get the picture here. He's saying, I know I'm departing from the norm. God's people are supposed to be humble, okay? But I'm going to brag a little bit because they're bragging. And let's see if their brag meets my brag. But my brag, remember Walter Brennan used to say, no brag, fact, you know? Is that how he said it? He said, no brag, fact, okay? In other words, if you're bragging, at least let it be factual. And that's what Paul's going to do. Are they Hebrews? See, Paul was a special target of the Pharisees because they considered him a turncoat. He is now promoting the faith that he once tried to wipe out, just as they do. You writing your own Bible there? Yeah. Okay. Got a polka dot Bible here. She's writing her own Bible. All right. Okay. So, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. See, the unsaved Jewish guy's claim to fame was, I am of Abraham. I am okay. And both Paul and Peter and especially Jesus ran into that opposition all the time. They said to Jesus, the Pharisees, we are not born of fornication, suggesting that he was because Mary was with child before they were married, Joseph and she. Okay. We're not born of fornication. We are the descendants or the seed of Abraham. And Jesus made this distinction. I know you are the descendants. See, that's the natural of Abraham. But if you were the children of Abraham, that's the spiritual, you would love me because Abraham saw my day and he was glad. See, Paul talks about the difference between a Jew who is circumcised in his heart and a Jew who is simply a Jew naturally. Circumcised in your heart means born again. Okay, so he made that distinction. So are they ministers of Christ? Verse 23, I speak as a fool. I am more and labors more abundant in stripes above measure. In other words, I can't tell you how many times I've been beaten. In prisons more frequently, in deaths often. That means in deadly peril, okay? From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. There was a reason that they held off. Do you know that reason? What was that reason? Oh, according to the law, they were allowed 42? 40, okay, so they didn't want to go over. They were very good about applying the law to Paul's back. Okay. and then 3 times I was beaten with rods. I believe that's when they would hold their feet up and beat their feet with rods a certain number of times. Okay. Once I was stoned. Remember that? They left me for dead. And when they stoned people, they didn't use little pebbles, you know, big rocks. And they thought he's dead, and then they find out he's back in the city preaching. It's just amazing. It was a miraculous deliverance by God. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. We only read about once, okay? And then a night and a day I've been in the deep. Imagine that. He's in the ocean a night and a day swimming for his life. And journeys often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is made to stubble and I do not burn with indignation? When's the last time you and I burned with indignation over some of the things that are being taught? See, I believe that as our intensity of love for Jesus Christ makes us hate error. You know, the Bible says that God hates. There's certain things that he hates, and you can read about it in Proverbs and other places. He hates certain things because he loves the truth. And we need to see those distinctions, okay? And we need to say, Lord, make me more like that. Now, these other guys are parading around like they're, you know, the gift of God to the church, and they're exploiting people, and they haven't done half what he's done. Remember this, you know, Jesus, we understand that Jesus gave his blood to save the church, to create the church, to save everybody. Actually, Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't really matter. But his blood is the only thing that takes away sin. Okay. Now, Paul said later on, my blood was poured out as an offering over the church. He gave his life. You realize most of these, with the exception of John, who died of old age apparently, all the rest of them gave their lives. You know, they're tolerated for a while. But Peter, and we've been studying Acts on Wednesday mornings, Peter is accused by the leaders in Jerusalem, you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. Because Peter's pointing the finger, you crucified the Lord of glory. That will get you killed. Okay? That will get you killed. So we are not to, and sometimes people, I had a friend who went over to China, a Christian pastor, and he said, there are some people over there who, you know, they try to be a hero to the church. So they do stupid stuff to get arrested and so forth. So everybody will look at, oh, great, you know, warrior for God. No, Paul, he didn't choose this stuff, okay? This was the result of that. And Jesus warned us, okay? He said, if they have said that I do my works through Satan, what are they going to say about you? If you're doing the same thing. Somebody's going to say, oh, you're a troublemaker. I've been called a troublemaker because I hold for the truth of the Word of God. I wish I held for more openly, more often, okay? But I have spoken up, and I find that people don't like that if they've got their own convictions. But we are to remain truthful to God. We're not to go out spoiling for a fight with a chip on our shoulder. At the same time, we're not to back off from the truth of the Word of God. All right, we need to close. Well, in the last part here, but in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Okay. We'll continue with that, and then we'll get into, I don't know, I just feel led to go to chapter 12. Anybody pick up on that? Okay, so chapter 12 is the last chapter there. And so let's have a word of prayer.